واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أما بعد,
today's topic
is a topic, I don't want to get into the details of it,
but to show the importance of it. It is about the manners in Islam. The details, as you know, the brothers organized our Fiqh Halaqah class, our brother Uthman and Abdullah, and alhamdulillah, we've been reaching its full capacity, so the details of it, you can reach it over there. But I just want to show, Islam pays so much attention to manners. How important manners are in Islam. Allah said in the Quran about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a mercy to all the universe. Mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy. How could he be a mercy if he didn't teach this world the appropriate manner? If a neighbor can't live next to a neighbor in peace, if a brother cannot guarantee his other brother will not talk about him, how can there be peace in this universe? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this hadith when he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. You know, the Prophet was sent with many things. Many things that you can't even imagine. But he said, in this hadith he said, I was sent to teach people good manners. He was sent for other things. Why did he specify this and say, I was sent to teach people good manners? Why? To show the significance of manners in Islam. Show me any physical worship that we do, I'm going to show you how behind it is the significance in manners that you learn from. Prayer. We pray 5 times a day. You pray sunnah. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Your salah is to turn you from fahsha. What's fahsha? Evil manners. Munkar. Major sins. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomever his prayer does not deter him from evil manners and major sins, there's no prayer for him. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah said in a hadith al-Qudsi, I accept the prayer from one who's merciful with the orphans, one who's kind to those passerbys who are astray, one who is kind to the widows. What's prayer got to do with this? To show the significance of manner in Islam. Siyam. Some people say, how will Siyam teach you good manners? You know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ. You know, when you're hungry, you're irritated. Any small thing from your brother is going to get on your nerves. Any small thing from an enemy or anyone is going to get on your nerves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ. Don't go in a rage. Don't shout. Don't scream. Don't lose your temper. If someone comes and curses him, فَإِن سَابَّهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ شَتَمَهُ. If someone curses him, let him say, Oh Allah, I am fasting. Oh Allah, I am fasting. More so than that, charity. How is charity related to good manners? Allah said in the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, خُذْ مِنْ عَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Take the charity from him. Why? تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Purify them internally. وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. Zakah is the best of all manners. So you can teach them how to be manner-like. Some people think the sadaqah is only to give in charity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomever smiles in his brother's face is a sadaqah. Whomever picks trash off the streets, sadaqah. Look how advanced and civilized Islam is. 14 centuries ago, our Prophet tells us, you pick a trash off the street, you got a sadaqah for it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pouring water from your vase to your brother's vase, if you're making wudu, is sadaqah. And the best of all sadaqah, you know what? Look how Islam is civilized. You ever go in a restaurant and see a newlywed and his wife? He takes a piece of cake or a piece of steak and cuts it and presents it to his wife and puts it in her mouth. You say, isn't that cute? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 14 centuries ago said the best of all sadaqah is a spoonful of food you take from your dish
then you feed your wife with it. You take it with your hand, you take it with a fork, and you feed your wife. So look how Islam, this is the best of all sadaqah. Look how manner-like Islam is. This is the Islam we're talking about. This is the first point. Every issue in Islam is related to manners. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ وَتَمَّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Take one more example, Hajj. You know, some people came to me before this last Hajj. And I was teaching them Hajj. We went over the steps. And I stressed a lot. I kept stressing the manners. You got to keep cool over there. Manners. And they said, man, you're overdoing it. Wallahi, they said that. You're overdoing it. They went to Hajj and they came back. They said, we know why you overdid it. You go over there, you got 3 million people. Shove it. You're going to see sights you never imagined before. People sleeping in the tents, private parts all over there. This Hajj is a 20-day course in manners. When you go there and you got 3 million people pushing and shoving, you can't take a shower over there in the 4 or 5 day of the main core of Hajj. And this guy comes next to you sweating, and all his sweat comes out. You're going to smell like him for the next 3 or 4 days. If you don't have patience, you're going to go in a rage. You go to throw the stones in the Jamarat, you got a crowd coming from this way, and a crowd coming from this way, and you're in the middle. If you don't have the patience, you're going to go in a rage, start punching. The brothers were strong brothers. They said, wallahi, we kept remembering what you told us. Hajj is a course in manners. Why is it a course in manners? Because Allah wants you to melt your nerves over there. Wants you, when you go there and to see that, come back. Your mother says, get up and do this. You jump up to do it. Your father says, do this. You jump up and do it. You obey your parents. You come back with your brothers. You're humble. You got no more nerves. You got no more nerves to take out on your brother any rages or anything. The course of that is the Hajj. Otherwise, Allah could have said 3 million. Okay. You know when you go to make pilgrimage from Hajj, people coming from America have a checkpoint just before Mecca where they have to put on their ihram. You have to take your street clothes off and put on the towel in the upper garment. People coming from the west have another point. These are points we know. In fact, when you go on the airplane, they'll tell you. The miqat is right under us. Change your clothes. If you're in the airplane, you change it. If you're in the street, you go pray surah as in the mosque over there. From the east is a point. From the west is a point. From the north is a point. From the south is a point. Everyone has a point. Couldn't Allah have said, the west go to the Hajj in the Hijjah. In the Hijjah. The north go to the Hajj in Safar, another month. The other parts go in another month. No, but that's not what Allah wanted. Allah wanted 3 million people to go there and be crowded. Not only crowded, you gotta go to Arafat, a tiny little area, probably smaller, not 1/4 of Dearborn. And you gotta go 3 million people, gotta stand over there in the hot sun. You know what's worse than that? As soon as it's Maghrib, the whole 3 million leave that area at the same time. Crowded! Crowded to the point some people say, why? To teach you manners, how to be with your brothers. Hajj is all about manners. Salah, zakah, all Islam wants you to learn is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was sent to teach people good manners. Some people think that acquiring knowledge is the most important thing. You want to be a hafiz and that's his goal. He want to be hafiz sahih al-Bukhari, Muslim, that's his goal. He want to study fiqh, that's his goal. That's important. Don't get me wrong. That's important. But there's something more important than that. The manner that comes along with that. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. I just bring you one example on this to know how important knowledge with manners is. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the dua that the Prophet used to brag about, he said, I'm the dua of Ibrahim. Ibrahim used to always say, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Oh Allah, Ibrahim, before the Prophet Muhammad, send them a messenger from amongst them. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ. Recite to them the verses of the Qur'an. Pay attention with me, how his dua is. Recite with them the Qur'an. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ. Teach them the Qur'an and the wisdom. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Purify them with good manners. Look at the order it's in. Oh Allah, send them a messenger to teach them the recitation of the Quran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ. And teach them the Quran and the wisdom. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Purify them. This verse, similar like of it, is repeated 4 times in the Quran. One time by Ibrahim saying it, the one I mentioned, and 4 times, 3 other times, by Allah saying, we replied to the dua. If you're a hafiz of the Quran, you're destined to get this wrong. It's repeated four times. The orders are wrong in the Quran. One time it's by Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, teach them the Quran and the wisdom and purify them with good manners. But when Allah replies, it's totally different. Listen to how Allah says it all the time. And if you're a hafiz, the way to know it is Ibrahim had a way of saying it, and Allah, when He replied, had a way of saying it. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. The way we sent amongst you a messenger from among you. يَتْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا. He recites the book. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ. Purify you with good manners. Look how Allah changed it around. Change the good manner to be before the knowledge. When Ibrahim said it, he had the manners, he had the knowledge first, then the manners. When Allah replied three times in the Quran, every single time, Allah says, purify them with good manners, and then answer the good manners, He says knowledge. Shows you that Allah puts them in the right order. Good manners, then knowledge. Another point that must be brought up is the Muslim Ummah tend to think today that there's a difference between Islam and good manners. Be a good Muslim in the masjid. You see him the best and most pious in the masjid when he's among his brothers and outside with the non-Muslim or with his other brothers outside. He's a scam artist. He's an adulteress. You know, look at the Arabic reputation in Dear One. All adulterous. Say an Arabic young teenager. What is he? You ever hear an Arabic young teenager in America and say, what was their calling to Islam? Say Arabic, go in there and say the Arabic young teenager, they're going to say, these are the guys who play around with the young girls, and when they're ready to get married, they go overseas and bring a fresh girl and come back over here. This is the reputation. Go to the high schools that are 80-90% Arabic and see the misery. This is what we're talking about. They think Islam in manners is in the masjid. Outside, there's no Islam and there's no manners. And that's not right. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاللَّهِ لَنْ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا وَاللَّهِ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا وَاللَّهِ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not become believers. When? Until when? He got the Sahaba's attention. Until when? When are we going to become believers? Until your attitude becomes correct. You have to have attitude with Iman for you to become correct. When he was approached by a woman, they said, there's a woman in this alley. She worships Allah excessively. But her next door neighbor always see harm from her. The Prophet ﷺ said, she's in hell. They said, there's another woman who barely worships. She does the ordain, but doesn't do excessively. But her neighbors see all the good from her. He said, she's in heaven. Iman and manners go along together. You can't separate one from the other. And the best idol to take the manners from is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Look at it in the Quran. Look at it in the Quran. Every time, Allah describes in a chain of verses, Islam and Iman, he follows it by a concept of manners. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The best one that describes the mu'minun is Surah Al-Mu'minun, the description of the mu'minun. The successful are the mu'minun. Okay, Allah, tell us who are the mu'minun. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The one who are humble in this prayer. This is Iman and Ibadah, worship. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Manners. One ibadah, one iman, one manners. They come in side by side. The second one is the one who don't excessively talk. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Worship, paying your charity. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. The fourth one is followed by manners. Lower your gaze. Don't commit adultery. Manners. إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. The next surah, in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The nice, humble worshippers of Allah that walk humbly on this earth, if the ignorant come and talk to them, they say salama. They don't guard you with people. Salama, and keep walking. Manners. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Followed by Islam and Iman, those who spend their nights worshipping. One manner, one Iman. Look more than that. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to those who are mindless in their prayer. Ibadah, Iman. Look what it's followed by. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. يُرَاءُونَ, the ones who show off. And you know what يَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ is? The ones who deprive their neighbors of things they ask for. You know what Ibn Abbas said it was? It says if he comes and asks you for a hammer, if he comes and asks you for cookware to cook, This is وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. Woe to those who are mindless in their prayer. Iman, ibadah. Followed by what? Manners. Who's your neighbor? That's how the Quran is. Why did Allah do this? So we'll have a generation of the ummah who think in the masjid, they're manner-like. Outside the masjid, there's no manner. Split Islamic personality. In the masjid, they pray 5 times a day. Outside, they're scam artists, adulterers, liars, deceivers. This is the problem we're going through. This is what's stopping the spread of Islam in this country. You know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best among you, أحسنكم إيمانا أحسنكم أخلاقا. The best among you are the best with manners. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the judgment day, you're going to come with deeds, all kinds of deeds. You're going to come with prayer and worshiping at night, and you're going to come with Hajj and Umrah. You know what the heaviest thing is? Good manners. A smile in your brother's face. A charity you gave. Something you did. Stop in gossiping. Stop in backbiting. Stop in harassment of others, of non-Muslims as well as Muslims. That's going to be the heaviest thing in your balance on the judgment day. The Prophet said, the heaviest thing that will come on your weight on the judgment day is good manners. The Prophet was approached by a tribe that came from a long distance. They said, who's the closest to you, Prophet of Allah? He said, the closest and most beloved to me is the one with good manners. In another hadith, he got their attention. He said, do you know who's most beloved to me? The Sahaba eager to know. Who's the most beloved to you? Do you know who the most beloved to me is? Again, who, Prophet, who? As soon as they were all staring, third time, and wanting to know who, he said, the one with best manners. How many make dua, when they make dua, oh Allah, give me good manners. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, Allahumma ihdini li ahsan al-akhlaq, fa innahu la yahdi li ahsan al-akhlaq illa anta. Oh Allah, guide me to the best of manners, because no one can guide me to the best of manners but you. Manners! Islam is manners! That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look in his mirror. You look in the mirror, and you're worried about how you're going to look throughout the day. You don't want a bad hair day. The sisters want to put the makeup and fix everything up. The brothers have to fix themselves up. You know what the Prophet used to do? Oh Allah, the same way you beautified my face, beautify my manners. Manners in Islam, an important significance. Someone will say, I can't change my manners. That's wrong. Your manners are not something in your genes. You got a hot temper? We got the solution for that. Wallahi, someone wrote a book, the hadith we're learning in fiqh, that don't be mad. لا تغضب. Someone came to the Prophet ﷺ to advise, he said, لا تغضب. Some scholar wrote a whole book on that, applying today's medical facts of the consequence of consistently being mad, and how it applies to that hadith. 14 centuries ago, the Prophet told us that. 14 manners of Islam. That's what the Prophet ﷺ wants. It's not something imprinted in your genes. You got bad manners, you're going to live with it throughout the day. It's just like working out. You want to lose weight, you're going to work out. You're going to change. You want muscles, you're going to work out. You're going to become stronger. The same way manners is, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَالصَّبْرُ بِالتَّصَبُّرُ وَالْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. Every good manner, you can get it. Everyone can get it. By practicing and being how? Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's many areas of checking your manners out. One of the first ones is your brothers. That's why Islam allows and wants people to advise each other. Oh brother, I seen this of you. Could you correct it? You take your brother, you advise him. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَالتَّوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَالتَّوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبَرِ. Giving advice to each other. The second one, and I think it's the most important one, is your enemy. You know, they try to take your faults and make them big and exaggerate and talk about them. I think that's one of the nice things to better yourself. They stay in their misery, suffering, talking about you, and you make yourself supreme by the things you learn from them. If they said something good, why not use it and better yourself? And you're going to come by while the days go by. They're in their misery. They're in their misery. They're lower than they ever were before, and you're supreme. And you're going forward. You're going forward, and they're bums. Yeah, that's your enemy. You use them to learn your faults. And a third one, and a very important one, is you gotta learn the manners from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, that's our problem today. We don't know that the only man on this earth with the last 23 years of his life, there isn't a single detail that you can apply to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one else like him. In the last 23 years, Isa alayhi salam, we love Isa. Jesus, we love him. We consider him a prophet. You know how much we honor him. But Isa alayhi salam never got married. You know, he was single all his life. You're married. I want to see how I treat my wife. You can't. You can only apply intersect when you're single. He was a single man. But I'm married. How can I apply it? You're old. Isa didn't live to be old. How can I live my life old? You look to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to apply Sulaiman's life, alayhi salam. That's great. The only time you can apply Sulaiman's life is when you're at a high power, you have a kingdom under you. That's how Sulaiman was. Sulaiman was never poor. The only one who had both in every single manner was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Poor and rich. You're poor, you got an idol to look up to. You're rich, you got that same idol to look up to. He lived part of his life poor, part of his life rich. You're single, he lived part of his life single, 25 years. And he lived after Khadija certain part of his life single, radiallahu anha. And he lived the life of marriage. He lived the life supreme, and he lived the life under the control of Quraysh. Whatever manner you're on, the only one you can find extensive details on how to look up to is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the only way you can do that is if you love that man. أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين أما بعد. Allah said in the Quran, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. In the messenger of Allah, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the example for you to follow. How come our attitude is not good? How come we don't have good manners? Because the only time you follow someone is when you love them. And we haven't fulfilled our hearts with the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know if we truly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sheikh, I have this problem. How did the Prophet deal with it? That's what you would be asking. How many people look up to that? We look, we see some kafir in the streets do some kind of emotional thing, and we say, ah, isn't that cute? Look how clean the streets in Dearborn are. Look how, in Islam, you forgot about the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 14 centuries ago. You know why? Because we haven't fulfilled our hearts with the true love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to work on that as the first stage of correcting our manner. When you fulfill your heart with anyone, who's the actor you like? Who's the actress people like? They begin to think like them, and talk like them, and act like them, and their hair, their dressing, their clothing, the way they talk, everything is like, why? Because they truly love that person. We have to achieve the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow in his manner like footsteps. Umar ibn Khattab walks next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before that, the Prophet said, Wallahi la tu'minu. You're not going to be believers until I'm more beloved to you than yourself that's between your two sides. Umar is walking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiallahu anhu. Look, this mannered man takes his hand, takes Umar's hand, and walks with him. And they're walking. Umar said, I found myself uttering, without conscience, O Prophet of Allah, I love you. How could the Prophet hold his hand? What the Prophet need with Umar ibn Khattab? Just to get his heart mellow towards the Prophet. Manners, manners. He says, O Prophet of Allah, I love you. The Prophet said, you love me more than your wealth? So yes, directly, without thinking about it. More than your children? Umar said, yes. How do we know Umar is not a liar? How do you know Umar is not a liar? When he answers the third question, the fourth question. You love me more than your wealth? Umar says, yes. You love me more than your kids? Yes. You love me more than your wife? Yes. You love me more than yourself? No. Umar said, no. That shows you it's true. Immediately says, yes, 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 no. He's telling the truth. He's not playing games with the power. How many of you could say that? How many of you could say today with the true heart, Wallahi al-Azim, I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than I love myself. I described in a khutbah prior to this, one of the ways you know to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than yourself is to know that yourself guides you to hell. The nafs directs you to evil. The one who rescues you from that evil is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The story didn't finish with Umar. Umar is with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Umar gets out of the room and walks. He's thinking. Puts his hand behind his back and thinking. What did I say to the Prophet? Then he comes back just moments later. He says, oh Prophet, I love you more than I love myself. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now you reach the peak of Iman. What was in the thought of this mind, man, when he was walking, pacing up and down thinking? His son Ibn Umar says, Father, what made you change your mind so quick? He said, son, I walked in the, I was thinking, who's more important to me? Who do I need the most on the day of the judgment day? Is it myself or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who am I going to seek refuge to? Myself or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who do I need the shafa'ah of on the day of the judgment day? When I was satisfied I need on that day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than I need myself, I said I love that man more than I love myself. Umar, his son, said, could you tell me one more thing? This is after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Could you tell me one thing you never forget about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Father and son, this is how they talk. They don't talk about sinful things and slander and even and gossip. This is how they talk. Could you tell me one thing you would never forget of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, yes. He said, one time I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I approached him to excuse me to go to Umrah and make Umrah in Mecca. He's in Medina, they want to go to Umrah in Mecca. He said, the Prophet excused me and took me with his hand and walked me to the outskirts of Medina. And when we got there, he embraced me and he said, مَا تَنْسَنَا مِنْ دُعَائِكَ يَا أُخَيْ. Don't forget us from your dua, my dear little brother. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he need with the dua of Umar? What does he need with the dua of a man he calls, my dear little brother? وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. That's how the Prophet gathered around him those heroes that carried the legacy of Islam to the world. That's how, with his manners. How else? وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were harsh and hard-hearted, they would have ran away from him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know the long story of the migration from Mecca to Medina. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walks in the desert. It's hot. He's thirsty. They reach the tent of an old woman named Ma'bad. And they get in there, she gives them a sheep that's very ill. The Prophet recites on it. They get milk out of it. It's a long story. What concerns us is Abu Bakr milk. He's dying of thirst. He's dying of thirst, Abu Bakr. And he brings the milk in a vase and hands it over to the Prophet. And he said, the Prophet, drink and drink and drink until I got full. Imagine that. Imagine that. I got full. He just kept looking at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinking. He said, I got full. He loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loved himself. In another instance with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he brings his father in Medina to embrace Islam. His father, old man, white hair from head to toe. And in fact, he's the one that we have the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you get white hair, change it to black. Dye it to other than black. Change your hair to other than black. So he comes there. And the father says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Abu Bakr bursts out crying. You know when the Prophet asked him to go to Hijrah, he bursted out crying. But that crying was because he was happy. And Aisha said, I never knew anyone cried out of happiness except that day. This time he's crying. What made you cry, Abu Bakr? He said, my thought went back, and I imagined that had Abu Talib embrace Islam, I wish that would have been what happened today rather than my own father, because I know that would make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happier. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who when he didn't refuse to become Muslim, he made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry. He said, I wish that day was Abu Talib, not my father. He wished his father go to hell and the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be safe in his position. That's how much they love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sawad, who has of sawad? The Prophet ﷺ is aligning them in the battle of Uhud. And they're aligning. The battle of Badr. And they're aligning them. And it's a battle that they're almost, it's a suicide battle. 300 versus over 1,000. And their death is in, they're looking at death. The Prophet's aligning them. You align them just like you align them in prayer. Sawad was out of line. So the Prophet uses his stick, long stick, to align them. So I said, ouch, you hurt me. I want my revenge. You know, in Islam, you whip someone, you got to get whipped. You pop someone's eye out, we pop your eye out. You kill someone, you get killed. What did the Prophet say? Wait until the battle's over. He lifts his garment up and he says, go ahead. Sawad radiallahu anhu throws himself at the Prophet and starts crying. What's wrong, Sawad? Where's the revenge? He said, oh Prophet of Allah, I know I'm going to die in this battle. And I wanted the last thing that touches my body is your body. قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ Tell them, keep this eye, this verse between your eye and the sight. قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ If your father, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ Your children, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ Your brothers, وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ Your wives, وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ Your tribe, وَأَمْوَالًا اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا Money, income that's coming in into you. وَتِجَارَ Business, school, whatever it may be that you're doing of that time. وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا If those seven things are more beloved to you, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ If those things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, تَتَرَبَّصُ Await. Await. My father tells me, watch when you get home what we're going to do to you. I shiver in my pants. You know, I shiver, I shake. I start shaking like this. Allah top of this seventh guy says, you love this more than you love Allah and His Messenger? Await. Await humiliation. Await to be the lowest people on this earth. Await to be killed, massacred, and from Palestine to Afghanistan, to Bosnia, to Kashmir, and no one cares about it. Bombs that fall on the innocent, no one cares about it. Await. Why? Await. You don't love these people more than you love Allah and His Messenger. When that becomes supreme, why are we low in this country so? Why in this country? Wallahi, Dearborn, I say it. Wallahi al-Azim, if we have the manners of the Prophet ﷺ, Wallahi al-Azim, Dearborn should be Islamic complete. People should be coming to the masjid left and right. I want to embrace Islam. What are our reputations filth? Our reputation is filth. Who are we given? Our reputation. Go ask the people of Dearborn or the Islamic communities out there. The filthiest houses are our houses. The filthiest people are our people. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, the people who were raised in Dearborn know, don't mess around with Arabs. They'll kill you, they'll gang up on you, they will do this, they will harm you, they will torture you. The Prophet ﷺ said, the worst among you are the ones who leave, who people leave them and watch them in an alley and go to another alley fearing their evil manners. The worst amongst you are the ones people deter away from and leave them because of their evil manners. ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشرة اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن أربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وابي الصدقين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين اللهم ارفع علم الجهاد وانصر المجاهدين اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيها أهل طاعتك ويذل فيها أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن منكر إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعاء وأقم الصلاة